All right. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Doing good. Praise God. God is good. Amen. He's so good. I'm just so thankful to the team that helped us to put together our C3 Kids Camp. It was really a blessing. I think for the parents to come and help set up and tear down. It was a long, it's 4 days, but, it's like we're planting seeds of faith, right? And so it was really a blessed time. I thank for everybody that came out to celebrate with us. The potluck yesterday was a lot of good food, and so it really was a blessing. So we're starting a new series, if you guys can tell, right? The series is called Hidden Treasure. Hidden Treasure, and today the sermon title is, What Are You Chasing? What are you chasing? Now, every one of us, whether we believe it or not, we're chasing something. Some of us might be chasing, be honest with you, sometimes you, here in the church context, everybody will say, oh, I'm chasing after God. Like, every morning, God is first in my life. No matter what's going on, I'm always praising Him. Good or bad, I'm praising Him. I'm always chasing God. But then if we take a moment to examine our lives, and we take a look at our calendar, or we took a look at our bank account, or we took a look at if we put your cell phone history on the screen for everybody to see, and we all had to judge and decide, what do you think that we would find? Would we find that we're all chasing God? That we're seeking first the kingdom in all things? Would we find that we're pursuing the job? Would we find that we're pursuing the relationship? Would we find that we're pursuing the dream that a lot of times gets, the American dream, the perfect house, the perfect car, the whatever that looks like, right? And so the reality is that we're all chasing something. And we have to acknowledge today that Jesus came and He spoke a lot about this topic. In fact, nobody spoke more than the kingdom of heaven than Jesus Himself. And so we're going to be spending some time in Matthew chapter 6 learning about that. Because the reality of it is there's a distinction, right? There's things that are of this world. And I'm not saying that we're, going to live under a tree. There's things that we're required to have. Yes or no, like a home, and we got to get to work, and we have to have clothes on our back. We're not saying those things. In fact, Jesus didn't say that those things were bad. But He's saying that He's very clear on what you treasure. In fact, we're going to spend a lot of time in Matthew 6 where He talks a lot about that. Because the reality of it is nobody wakes up in the morning or nobody wakes up or decides to say, you know what, today I'm going to chase after all the wrong things. Things that have no value. Today I feel like wasting my time and wasting all of my energy because I got nothing better to do. Nobody wakes up doing that, do you? No, right? If that's you, you need to come over to my house. I'm going to put you to work. I got some work for you to do. Amen? No, none of us wake up doing that. But the thing about it is the distraction comes, and it doesn't come like an obvious thing. Like if I'm preaching here and then my brother Stephen comes and he slaps me across the face, number one, I'd probably fall down. Number two, I'll call my brother. Said, Amado, he just hit me. No. But I would know. It would be very obvious when something like that would happen. Yes or no? Have a big old red mark. Probably be. But I would know. See, sometimes we think that in life, when we're chasing the wrong thing, that, yeah, sometimes if we fall into sin or things happen, yeah, life is going to come and slap you upside the head. Has that ever happened to him? It happens, yeah, right? But more often than not, the enemy works in a way that is very crafty. He will give you and show you something that is good and appealing to distract you. Because he's the what? The father of lies, right? And so Jesus is very clear on where our focus is, where our attention is, and where the hidden treasure is at ultimately. So let's dive into the word today. Brother, don't ever come and slap me, okay? Sunday I'll do an object lesson. That's a Will Smith. That's only for the acting. That's not at church, okay? Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. We're going to read the first five verses there, and then we'll stop and break it down a little bit. Sound good? All right. So Matthew chapter 6, this is Jesus preaching here, the Sermon on the Mount. And he says here, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Amen? Amen, amen. So this is Jesus, again, preaching the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon that's ever preached, and he's now diving in and talking some real truth. Now, who is he talking to? He's talking to, you know, obviously, the Jewish people there. And they were going through a lot of things. You think that the people in those times, they had challenges the same way that we have challenges. They had to what? They had to work. They had to worry about food. They had to worry about what else? Housing. They had to worry about their kids that sometimes they act like knuckleheads. No. Those are other kids or other churches, okay? We declared that 2 weeks ago, but the kids at this church, man, they're so obedient. They listen first time. You don't have to repeat yourself. Right? No, they had the same problems that we have. That's why God's word is timeless, because the word that is applicable to them is definitely applicable to us, yes? Because sometimes you can get caught up and distracted. And sometimes good things can start to distract you and take you away from the real treasures that God has for us. So the first point in today's message and what we hear Jesus talking about is, he says, number one, what you pursue reveals what you treasure. What you pursue reveals what you treasure. Because ultimately, sometimes it can happen to us. A good thing starts to distract us. And it feels like we treasure that more than the things of God. It feels like sometimes we treasure that even more than the things that we love. Does that make sense? The people that we love. Because if I ask every brother or sister in here, they say, what do you love? What are the things that you treasure? A lot of times people say, well, I love God and I love my family, right? But again, if we look at what we're focused on, it might look like you love YouTube more. It might look like you love Netflix more. It might look like you love your job more, right? Because that's taking up all of our time and attention. It's taking up all of our devotion sometimes. Does that make sense? Well, what you pursue reveals what you treasure. And in verse 19, Jesus says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, say it with me, there your heart will be also. Amen? Now he begins to treasure because it matters, right? I mean, I'm old, so my favorite cartoon growing up was DuckTales. You guys know that's where Scrooge McDuck, he has a big old thing of money. He even goes swimming, and then he would like spit it out, little coins would come out. I love that cartoon. It was my favorite. I even pretended that I had a number one dime. Like, you guys remember that? The key to his fortune was a number one dime. And the big old bros would always try to steal it, and Glongold. That's how old I am, guys. I love that. And I always thought, I was like, man, wouldn't that be cool to have a big old vault and all kinds of money like that? You're a kid, right? Your imagination. But the reality of it is that he had this treasure stored up for himself, but who was always trying to steal it? All the enemies, right? You know, it's funny, it reminds me of myself. When I was in high school, these are things that are important to young men. You always want to have your own car, right? You guys remember that? I want to have my own car so that I could roll up and then pick up my... I was like, hop in, girl. Going to the movies. Let's go get something to eat. Now, young men, I'll be honest with you, this is a biblical fact. In Genesis, before God gave Adam a woman, he gave him a job, okay? Just telling you right now. It's not fun when you're taking your girlfriend out on your mom and dad's dime, okay? So young man, listen, biblical. Adam didn't have a woman before he had a job. He had a job first. And his job was to name all the animals and to take care of it. Remember? You remember. So young men, pay attention. I had a job. I've been working since I was 5 years old, okay? In the fields, but that didn't count. When I turned 15, I got my first real job that paid me the money. So yes, my dream was to have a car. Yeah, like, oh, I want to have a car. And it wasn't like something fancy, you know, it was a little four-door Geo Prism. Not the egg one. The one that looked like a little Corolla, okay? And I love that car. But true story, I wanted to put the spinning hubcaps on it, but my wife vetoed that. But I wanted to have that. And so I bought the car, and you know what I need after that? It was like, you can't have a car without a sound system, right? So then I went to Walmart and I bought a COSS, COSS, not like Boss, COSS radio system. I installed it myself. I put the speakers in. I was like, oh man, this is awesome. Had my own little CD player and everything. And I was good. I was dating Stephanie already and stuff. Well, lo and behold, what happened one day when I was packing groceries at Town and Country Market? Somebody broke in and stole my COSS stereo system. It didn't even have like bass or nothing. I didn't have no speakers. It was just like a Walmart, $99. That was a lot of money back then. And somebody stole it. And I was all mad. I remember being all mad. I was like, gosh, seriously? And then I had to pay for their window they broke. How many of you guys have had that happen to you? Where you work so hard for something and then somebody stole it. And you're like, oh. You start raging a little bit. You get mad. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He says, listen, it's good to build up some things like you. Hey, I work for that car, I work for that stereo, but listen, the thieves, man, right? They come and steal. In the same way, how many of us have closets full of clothes or closets full of shoes? But after a while, like, you know, it's a true story. My wife, she bought me some shoes, and I hadn't worn them in a long time, and so I wore them to the kids' soccer practice, and the bottom fell out. You know, they don't last. Right? Things don't last. Moths come in, your clothes falls apart. So listen, those are all okay things, but they're not eternal, right? People can come and steal them. They break down. The things that we work so hard for, like your new car, your new house, after so long. Now listen, if you got 4 kids and you got a new car, man, in about 2 years, there's going to be Cheetos and corn dog sticks and goldfish and you name it, right? And you work so hard for it. Those things have value, meaning they're, but not eternal value. That's what Jesus is talking about. He says, listen, make sure that you're investing your time on things that have eternal value. Like the things of what? The things of God, right? You have to be kingdom-minded. For the men in the room, we have to be sowing what? Those seeds of faith into our kids. We have got to be praying for them. Teach them how to read the Bible. We've got to be doing devotionals. Moms, praying for our kids too. Bringing them to church. Bringing them to kids camp. Those things have eternal value. Amen? So, I know some of you guys are Googling, what is a COSS stereo system? It was not that great, guys. But it did the job, you know? And so, yeah, where our treasure is what? What we pursue, what reveals what we treasure. That's what Jesus is talking about. He says, don't store up all these things because somebody's going to break in still. It's not lasting. Now, he's not saying that these things are evil. We talked about that. But what he's saying is that you have to have right priority, perspective on these things. Because if not, then your life starts to get out of balance. And that's not a good place to be. Because some of us in here, if we're honest, we look at our calendar, and if I throw your cell phone search history up there, you would probably say, man, I don't know if God is first in my life. Where am I spending all my time, all my money? All my attention. What gets first thing? Right? Yeah. Yeah. You would know that. And then we don't say that to like shame us to do some Listen, at the end of the day, Jesus is coming to remind us about how we live our life and what we're pursuing. Because those are the things that matter at the end of the day. But Jesus is loving, right? He's not the kind of, and Jesus, sometimes we do need a slap across the face, if we're honest, right? The Holy Spirit coming, bam! We need that sometimes. But his words are kind to us. Because the reality of it is, like, he's not trying to rob us of our joy. Like, some people will take this passage and say, well, you can't have nothing. Like, I'm going to go live in a box. And on Sunday, I'm going to preach. I'm going to be wearing a bean sack next Sunday. I can't have nothing nice, right? Comfortable shoes? No. Put on the shoes that have the Goodyear tires at the bottom of them. Whatever. Those are good, though, right? They last a long time. Little araches. They're good for throwing up. Kids acting up. They're heavy, too. But no, it doesn't mean that we can't, that God is against material possession. He doesn't say that. In fact, listen, if you look at the Old Testament, God often used people that were very well off. They were very blessed. Abraham, right? If you look at their families. So it's not those things. But what matters is what happens is that we get distracted. And what you start to value in your heart, that's the problem. Now, if God is in your heart, then you can do some good things for the kingdom. Because he can what? Trust you. Does that make sense? Because the reality of it is, you can start to check yourself, right? And you can ask yourself. This is all you can tell. What has the power to disappoint you and ruin your whole week if something happens? Or if your team doesn't win? Is your whole Sunday ruined? Your life is in shambles, right? What are you afraid of losing? What are you afraid of losing? Family, for sure, right? But we don't grieve like those who have no hope. What do you assume that if you had this thing would make you feel complete and whole? Sometimes it's like, oh, like I was younger. If I had a car, if I had a house, when I get my degree, when I get married, when I have kids, I start to assume that everything's going to come together. But guess what? Those are all the external things. But they're not transforming this. I shared with you guys my testimony. My testimony is that I've started achieving a lot of those things, but on the inside, I've had a lot of anger. I was a mad rapper on the inside. I was Tupac. But on the outside, I had it all put together, going to work with my tie on, and yes, meetings and all that kind of stuff. And I could write a mean email, guys. Right? I could lead a meeting. But on the inside, I was what? I was bitter. I was angry. I was empty. I didn't have peace. And so I was pursuing a lot of those treasures, but at the end of the day, they weren't making me whole. Because guess what? I wasn't made to worship those things. I was made to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I was made to be known by God, and I was made to know Him, to worship Him. And I was pursuing all these things in my life. And when I got them, I was like, man, I still feel empty. I don't have peace. I'm not satisfied. Because number two, right, what we treasure shapes our heart. What we treasure shapes our heart. And Jesus says that in 6:21. It says what? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I was chasing after all those things, but it didn't give me peace. It didn't give me satisfaction. Where you are putting your time and attention, what you value, right? That's where it's leading you. You could say it. Oh, I value this, right? I'll give you this analogy. I said, my wife, I love her. She's the apple of my eye. You know what that means when you say the apple of my eye? It means that when I want to be so close to her that I could see my reflection in her eye. She's the apple of my eye. Right? I love my wife. I do. I love my wife. I love her more today than the day I got married to her. Because it's cost me a lot. Okay? Not like money. Because how do you know when you love something? Everybody could say superficially, oh, I love you. I love you, girl. Your friends, I love you, and they don't even return your calls, right? I thought she loved me. No, what I'm talking about is, listen, you could see the point I'm trying to make is this, look, at the end of the day, right, it's going to cost you something. It is. Time, attention, money. I can't just say superficially that I love my wife, and then I just go, all you see me is golfing. You see me out with the guys all the time. You see me over here running around. You never see me with her. I don't have no time for her. That's just, what, lip service. But what it means that I'm loving my wife is that I got to, she's my treasure, and I got to take care of her. First and foremost, though, I got to be treasuring God first. Because she could also become my what? My idol. And she's not going to make me whole and complete. And a lot of times in the culture, in the world, we say, oh, this person, that person, oh, my baby. Hey, you got to be right with God first. Let God be your treasure, then everything else is added unto you. That makes sense? But we get it wrong. It's like we think it's the career, it's the relationship, it's this material. And no, it's not that. Those things will never satisfy us and make us whole. So I have to treasure, right? I treasure God. And I treasure my wife. And I treasure my children. And I treasure the position that God has called me to in this congregation. Does that make sense? Now, those things are going to cost me something. Right? Like I told you guys, I think I told some of you guys, I'm enrolled to go back to school. Not because I joined seminary. I'm going to Biola University starting in the fall, online, but I'm going to pursue my master's in divinity. Not because I'm going to be like, oh, look how divine I am. No, nothing to do with that. I want to know more about God. I want to know more. I want to be more effective. It's not like, a lot of times people are young and they're trying to figure out their life. No, I know what God has called me to do. I want to pursue that. I want to know Him more. So Lily tells me, Dad, what does that mean? What's that going to cost you? Are you going to quit your job? No. We'll be living in a cardboard box. We'll be living under the 41, guys. Where's Pastor at? We live over there by the 41 and the 180. That's where they live. No, I still got a job, guys. I still have responsibilities. Right? What I say it's going to cost me, it's going to cost me some sleep. I'm going to have to get up early. I'm going to have to prioritize some things. I'm not going to be able to watch all those Netflix movies that I want to watch. Make me cry. Right? It's true. But it's going to cost me something. But listen, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I said, when I treasure my relationship with God, then I should want to know Him more. Right? So what your treasure shapes your heart. Right? Because if you give your best attention to other things, you'll start to notice, right? What if you're always focusing on comparison? You're always looking around. Oh, did you see so-and-so? You see what they're wearing? You see what they're driving? You see their house? What does that lead to? Leads to envy, right? You know people like that? I know they don't come to this church. They don't even go to church. You know people like that? That they're always comparing. Maybe they're always looking at their position, their title, they're working hard, right? That leads to what? That leads to becoming restless when you don't get the job, when you don't get the promotion. When it's all about this thing, about how you look on the outside because you want it, that's all fake. What about if you pour yourself into being somebody that is always in control? What happens when you're not in control? That leads to what? Usually anger, right? What else does it lead to? Insecurity? Because you're not in control. Guess what? You're not in control. You're not God. You can use that one on your spouse. Aye. Oh, the sign-up sheet is in the back for marriage counseling. I heard a lot of gasps. God is a God of order. We have different roles to play. I'm actually going to do a series on that one next. Because it's going to be called Relationship Goals, okay? There'll be something for the men, the women, and the kids on that one, all right? But we're not in control. God is in control. And when God is sovereign and He's Lord of my life, yeah, I should be respecting my wife. I should be treating her well. I should be loving her. And when God is in control, she should be respecting me, right? Helping me. Not bringing me down. Not kicking me over here. She should only do that to the devil. Boom. Right? If you build your identity on success, what happens when you fail? I'm a failure. My whole life is a disappointment. Your life ebbs and flows, right? This is why we don't put our identity on all these things. We put our identity in who God says that we are. Because your heart follows whatever you treasure. And some of us in here, excuse me, if maybe we feel like we put a thermostat on our spiritual life and it's not feeling, it's a little lukewarm. Maybe it's feeling a little bit cold. You have to ask yourself, what are you really treasuring? Are we spending time with God? Are we in the Word? Are we making time to fellowship with the brothers and sisters in this church? We believe it, right? We believe it, that the kingdom is first, but our actions, all out of whack. So Jesus is ultimately saying, this is not bad things, but he wants you to what, lay up your treasures in heaven. Otherwise, it gets stolen like my speaker system. Right? You get angry. And similar ways, right? Our life is formed by what? We continue to do. We repeat. It's not just a one and done thing. I got to keep my devotion to the things of God. It's not like I'm nice to my wife like once a week or something or whatever. What if she only cooked once a week? I'd be all flaco, number one. But I'd be like, what? No, see, it has to be repeated. I'm devoted to it. I'm devoted to God. I pursue it with my heart. And so he's calling us, right, to live a life that what? Trains our heart to love God. Not material things. And how do you do that? Because here he flips it a little bit and he starts talking about challenging you on the material things. Every time I start talking about money, the men grab their wallet and the women kick it under the chair. What is he going to talk about right now? A special collection? No. Listen, you guys know this. God is so good to us, he gives us the 100, right? What we give back to God is a spiritual discipline so we can build a kingdom. You guys all know this. Nobody on this staff gets a single cent of salary. We don't do this because like, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I need a new car, so I'm going to start a church. No. We do it because we love Jesus, right? We do it because families need to know about Jesus, because men need to be raised up and to know Jesus. Wives need to be know Jesus. Kids need to know Jesus. That's how we do it, right? And we talk about this at our church meetings too. So listen, every one of us needs to be giving to God first. We're not going to ask anybody in the congregation to do something that we're not doing ourselves, right? So don't panic when I start talking about finances, because that's what Jesus is talking about. That's where he's going. I don't know if you guys know that. In fact, he says it, what? You can't love both. You're a slave to one or the other, right? So Jesus says, well, how do you do that? Well, you have to give generously. How do you do that? How do you seek the kingdom of God first? You got to forgive somebody. I don't want to forgive that person. They need to go to hell, Pastor. You don't know. I know Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sin, but I will never forgive them. Never. Because it hurt me so bad. Does it say that? It doesn't say that, huh? No. How about if we get into the Word before we open up your Instagram? Some of you guys are already, I just watch you guys are doing this. I'm practicing for my scrolling later. Right? When you pray, instead of being all worried, huh? Talk to somebody and they're all worried, all panicked. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Have you prayed about it? No. Well, then let's get to praying. When you choose to be obedient, even though it doesn't feel comfortable, even though it's going to cost you something, stop pinching the baby, Matt. The choices don't always feel like it's a big old thing. But see, this in God, the Father, what sees what you do in secret. What's hidden. Where's the real reward at? The reward in Jesus, if you guys read chapter 6, which you have, he even talks about how you pray. He says the people who pray in publicly, that they're praying all these long and eloquent prayers, he said they've already received their reward. He says, but you Don't be like that. You pray in secret. And the Father who sees it, right? Isn't that awesome? Oftentimes it says, don't let your right hand know what your left, not because he wants you to be like top secret, like don't see what I'm doing. No, he's saying, listen, do it because God is watching you anyway. What he's doing in secret, don't do it to be all puffed up so that other people could see you. So, oh, look how kind you are, brother. Look how generous you are, Stephen. Oh, right? A lot of people do that. Not at this church, I mean, but other places. Does that make sense? We're not doing it to get accolades from other people. He's calling us to live in a way that, again, is training our hearts to love God first. And the question that then we have to ask ourselves again, what really is your treasure? What are you valuing? What's consuming your time? Is it things of God or is it things of the world? Because the things of heaven, oftentimes you do them, and I'll be honest with you, nobody notices it. Right? But God sees it. Right? He's not looking to puff you up and to like, oh, look how awesome you are. No. We're storing up heaven's, our treasures in heaven. Amen? The third thing that we learn from today's messages and passage of Scripture is that we must choose a type of vision in which master to serve. We must choose the type of vision and which master to serve. Notice that it says you're going to serve a master. Huh? Not me, I'm free. I do what I want. Nobody tells me what to do. Okay, hold on. I'll get into that in a little bit. Verse 22 says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Now, when you read that translation, a lot of times it's like, what is he talking about? He's talking about first storing up treasures, and then he's talking about the lights, right? And then light coming into your body, and then darkness. And immediately you're thinking, like, is he talking about, he's like an optometrist now? Like, he's going to cover my eye and go E, F, G. I'm not talking about that. In fact, the Greek translation for healthy or unhealthy actually has to do with what? You guys know what it means? You guys know somebody that's this in Spanish? It's colo. Healthy in the translation in the Greek that's used there is generous. So he says, if your eyes are generous, right, then light will come in. How you view the world. You have a view of generosity. You look. But on the other side, if you have an eye that is unhealthy, that you're what? Stingy. You'll have a different way of looking at the world, don't you? You know people like that? Yeah, over here I have two pairs of glasses. Okay. Now these are my stingy glasses. You know how I know? Because I got these for free. I didn't pay nothing. And if I see something free, man, I can't help myself. I gotta have like 3 or 4 of them, you know? These are from Maverick Orthodontics. Now, if I put these on, and these are my glasses that make me stingy, and I put them on, and then my brother comes to ask me for something, oh, I better not. He just wants something from me. Or if I see something, oh, I better not even give because, oh, no, I can't. Or man, I'm just going to give it just enough. Or, oh, I'm always watching. I'm always envious, right? I'm watching what you're doing. We're at the potluck, and I'm counting how many shrimp you have in your plate. You ever know people who are just genuinely stingy like that? Where they operate out of like, oh, man, what I have, I'm just... You know the other word for stingy is miser. You guys know that? Miserable comes from the root word miser. Because people are stingy. You know people who are stingy? They don't want to give nothing of their time. They're like, oh, no, that's mine. It's my precious. It's like God didn't make us to live that way. Right? It's like everything I have is mine. No, you can't have any. Listen, all of us have that in ourselves, right? Innately. You don't have to teach a kid to be selfish, do you? The first, even before they say mom and dad, they learn to say mine. Right? Don't they normally say that? They don't even say mom or dad. It's mine. It's in our flesh. Not to share. It's in our flesh to be selfish and stingy. Well, that's a terrible way to live your life. Isn't it? I'm having a hard time seeing with these right here. Now, these are a little bit more fashion forward. I don't know. They're not like the Oakleys because I don't invest in that. These are Champion. A little bit better. I did pay for these at like Big Ten or Big Five or whatever you call that. Okay, look at these. Ooh, these are my Jesus glasses. A little bit more fashion forward. The young people might say, hey, Pastor looks kind of cool, but he's still kind of lame. It's okay. I got you. I got it. I'm not like, but look at what these glasses. Oh, everything looks better. Oh, you know, even Matt looks cuter with these glasses. You know what I mean? Woo! He's all, where can I get those for all the girls, Pastor? But now I'm generous. Now I'm kind. You want something? Sure. You need help? Yes, let's pray. What can I do for you, brother? I'm not operating now. I see my life as an overflow and an abundance from what God has given me. Every day is a blessing. The person that cuts me off, he must be in a hurry. It's okay. Go, brother, go. You know? It's different how you view the world when you put your Jesus glasses on versus when you're wearing your miserable glasses of stinginess and being all mad at the world. Does that make sense? Now I see the world as like, man, God loves me. I'm good. I say this at my office. They're like, how's everything? That's crazy busy. Yeah, it is. But God loves me and my wife loves me, my family, and my church loves me too. That's true. And they're like, in a meeting, they're all, oh, that is good. Yeah, it is. Of course it's crazy here, but no matter what. That's my life is not going to be dictated or determined by how crazy it is at work. Imagine living your life like that. And sometimes it feels that way. Doesn't the enemy try to just throw all kinds of distraction and drama to you? I mean, you better just, whenever that happens, just, I'm going to buy you guys a pair. Throw on your Jesus glasses. I'm good. Jesus loves me. That makes sense? So it's changing the way that I view the world. I view the world through the lens of being loved by God, that Jesus loves me, that he has me, that he's providing for me. And there's light in that. That's what he's talking about there. Now, if you're stingy, well, then you're going to be miserable. The second thing that he's talking about is what? You have to choose a master. And somebody says, oh, I'm not a master. I'm not a slave to nobody. You might be a slave to your phone. You might be a slave to what other people think about you. You might be a slave to your job. You can't serve both, it says. You will what? Love one and despise the other, is what Jesus says. In 24, it says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Why would you want to serve money anyway? It's just paper. You don't even own it. The government owns it, right? We have to align ourselves to God. Be careful, though. You can use that to build up the kingdom, though. I'll be honest with you. It's not a negative thing. We're not here just, again, it takes resources to, you know, fund ministries and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I'm not worshiping money because it's just going to leave me empty. And that's what Jesus is being very clear about. And they would have understood it at that time. The people at that time would have understood it because what? It was kind of common. If you went into debt, you would be a slave for a certain amount of time, usually around 7 years. And on the seventh year, you would be set free, right? But some of us, if we're honest, we're a little bit slaves to the bank, paying bills, yes or no? Now, that's not my God, right? God is my God. But I have to be loyal to one. I can't have two masters. It doesn't work that way. One of them is going to take priority in my life. One of them has to take claim. And what is the answer then? Of course, we don't serve money. We let money serve the Lord, and then it serves you. Does that make sense? But number four, we're going to read a few verses down, because then Jesus gives us the ultimate answer. And it's actually the foundational verse for this church. It's Matthew, what? 6:33, which says what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. That's the answer. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added unto you. See, Jesus wants us to live a life, what? that pursues God first. So that's number four. The kingdom must become our first pursuit. The kingdom must become our first pursuit. It comes first. Even before your spouse, before your kids, definitely before your job. Right? Because from that, everything else is added unto it. Now, he's, again, not talking about, what, living all your life. How many of you guys like to go to, what's that place over there, Pismo, where they give the clam chowder, splash? It's pretty good, the clam chowder by itself, huh? But it's really nice when you put the toppings on it, huh? A little bit of lobster, a little bit of the cheese, definitely the bread, little crab. That's the toppings. Those are the good things. God is not saying that you need to treat him like a topping. What's that guy that he does the salt like that? That's not God. Does that make sense? Some of us, we want to treat it like, I know what I'm going to do in my life. Like, I have all these things. I have all these problems. Let me just sprinkle a little bit of toppings of God on my life. What? That's not going to work. You know, you get the choice. God is telling you, man, you just want to dabble a little bit. But I want to give you all of me, right? I want to transform your life, your heart. That's different. Not a little topping of God, not a little Jesus toppings, but that it needs to become our first pursuit. He's calling us to make the kingdom of God and his righteousness our priority. Number one. And again, how do we do that? That means he's number one in what? In relationship. He's number one where? With our finances. Again, with the finances, Pastor? A lot of us treat God like we wouldn't even treat our friends that way. If God comes first and he gives you his best, a lot of times, especially when it comes to things of finances, like, if I have anything left over, I'll give it to you. What? You wouldn't say that to your friends. You wouldn't say it to your spouse. But we treat God that way. If I have something left over for you, I'll give it to you. Imagine if I said that. Frying pan. Pass. Pastor dies. Death by frying pan. Tragic. Reedley, California. I wouldn't say that to her. Right? But we can treat God that way. He needs to come first, guys. He needs to come first. Is he first in your decision making? Are you praying? Is he first in your ambitions? You're trying to grow for God. You want to do something for the kingdom? Is he first in your speech? Are you honoring God with how you live your life? Are you seeking for him to be the, I would say, sovereign over all every of your life? That means seeking the kingdom first, guys, in all things. Not just in some things. Not where it's just convenient for me. Because that's where the hidden treasure is. The hidden treasure comes from spending time alone with God, to deepen the relationship. How do you deepen the relationship with your spouse? You spend time. It's in those quiet moments, right? When you're talking, you're doing life together. God is the same way. He's a God of relationship. You got to be in your Bible. You got to be praying. You got to go to Bible study, got to come to church, even when it's World Cup and it's going to start in like 30 minutes. Thank you guys for being here. You know, God is a God that is awesome. And he is a God of order. And he's asking us to make sure that we are in order ourselves. If you have your life built on anything else but God, I'm telling you what's going to happen. Heartache is sure to come. Because nothing can satisfy us the way that God satisfies us. And when you have Jesus and you get God and you get all of him, guys. I'm not just saying sometimes we come to church because we need, something's wrong in our life or something's happening or get me out of this struggle or I got the bad diagnosis or this is that, blah, 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 blah. You name the list, right? When you get God, you get God. And he's enough. When you seek his righteousness and his kingdom, right, you get God. And then everything else starts to fall in line. Isn't that amazing that when you give your life to Christ and you start walking and you start building, then you start to see all areas of your life start to come together? That's not by accident. You start being obedient. You start getting into your word. You start praying. You start serving. And that's not to say that the storms are not going to come. We're not exempt from them. But I stand firm on who God is. He's my firm foundation. He's my rock. He's my salvation, my strong tower. Amen? And then it doesn't matter what happens. For me to live is what Christ and die is gaining. That's our God. And so we've got to make sure that we have a proper place for things. God comes first. Everything else comes second. Our work, our money, relationships, our plans, we have to surrender all of that to God. Because He's already going to take care of you. He says, if you put me first, I guarantee you I'll take care of all the other things. So, for us, how do we bring this back down? Well, you got to start doing something. I know sometimes people come to church and they're like, the word was so strong, it just like washed over me. That's okay. Some of us need a washing, you know. But what more than anything is what we need, an indwelling of the word, an indwelling of the Spirit. Does that make sense? To get on the inside. How many of you guys have had like I was eating a Frito boat 2 days ago because there was Frito boats and all there was is a, and then as soon as I, you know, you ever had that happen? I'm like, this better not get on my shirt. And as soon as you think it, it's all, psh. And then I try to wipe it, a little superficial, and it didn't come out. So then I had to do what? Yeah, I had to go to the sink, and I'm putting Dawn on myself. And that's a true story with the scrub daddy. Because I don't want to be that pastor that's over there with the kids on big old Cheeto, Frito boat stain. So, you know, that's a true story. It was wet outside already, so I'll just say the kids wet me. Had a lot of water gains. That did happen. If you noticed on Friday, that's actually what happened. So some of us, we just think the word is like flicking. Oh, the word came on me. No, we need to get the word, you know, get in there. Spend time. Scrub it. Get the word and scrub the heart. Does that make sense? Let it penetrate a little bit. Not just superficially, guys. And so what does it look like? It's in the hidden things and the small things. Like beginning every day, right? Before you start thinking about all the things you have to do, why don't you just pray God, worship Him, thank Him for the day of life. Before you get out of bed, just start praising Him. Thank Him. It looks like being, like looking for opportunities to serve somebody. It looks like having those difficult conversations that maybe you're avoiding. It means that you're working and you're forgiving people. It means that you're being nice and kind and generous to people who don't even deserve it. It's easy to be kind and generous to the people that you like. What about the person in your office that just drives you crazy? That if nobody was watching, you just like trip them. And pretend like it wasn't you. Jesus is calling you to be generous and kind to those people too. How can you look for an opportunity to serve them? You don't know what's going on. A lot of times you don't know what's going on with people. But we have to be present. And God invites us to be what? The beautiful feet that share the good news of who He is. And the goal isn't what? It's not to impress God. Let me be very clear. You're not saved by your works. We're not trying to do this religious activity where we have to do all these things. Do it out of overflow for what God is doing in your life. Out of the abundance of what everything Jesus has already provided for us, then we can go and serve. Do the things that we do, not because I feel like I have to earn anything. No, man, I'm just so thankful for what Jesus has done. So you're not going to impress God in that way, I'll be quite honest with you. Because God already loves you. It's like my kids, they try to sometimes like, yes, I love them, and they need to hear it, but they don't need to try to impress me. I love them already. Does that make sense? And I don't need religious activity. I want, yes, time. I want to have relationship. And that's what God is calling us to do. Seek first the kingdom, right? And everything else is added unto you. So what are we chasing? Are we chasing the material things? You're chasing the title? You're chasing the cars? The men in here better not be chasing the women. You guys missed that. The wives heard it. The only women that we're chasing is this one right here. The ring on it, right? You guys have heard my story about the ring. It cuts circulation on the ring and from here. Because why would I said it last week, why would I need another? I'm already content. The apple of my eye. So what are you chasing? Bank account? Bigger car, bigger house, none of those things. You've heard this analogy a lot, right? After somebody dies, it's just the person in the box. Not the U-Haul behind them, not the house. And so we have to be prepared to live a life that is right before God. We have to pursue the kingdom. And it can't just be an afterthought. It needs to be the focus and the primary thing we're seeking every single day of our lives. Amen? Because here's ultimately, right? Listen, a lot of people have a misunderstanding about who God is. To think that he's a cosmic killjoy, that I can't have any fun. Man, I have a lot of fun in my life. Amen? God is good. I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. Jesus is not trying to take the joy from me, right? He's leading me into the joy. He's leading me to where he is. The presence of God is where all of us want to be. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord God, for just today, Lord. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for reminding us, Lord God, that you want us to seek your kingdom first. And Lord, thank you, Lord, that you are God that understands. Lord, yes, we live in a world, Lord, where we have our needs. But Lord, you provide all of our, for everything. Lord, the greatest need that we have is need of a Savior, need to be forgiven, and a need to be made whole in a relationship with you, Lord God. But thank you, Lord God, that you don't leave any gaps, Lord. You want us to make sure that all of our life is in order. And you're wanting us to seek the kingdom first. Not through religious activities, Lord God, but to be able to commit ourselves to doing the unseen, Lord God. To pray, to serve, to be kind, to put you first, to be generous, Lord God. See the light, to see the world through the light that you've given us, Lord God. So continue to work on our hearts, Lord God. If there's something that is out of alignment, help us to reflect on it, Lord God, this morning. To get it back in order. To not prioritize things, not make it an idol, not pursue these false things, Lord God, but to pursue with all of our hearts. Because you're where it's at, Lord God. So help us, Lord God, to be people that are chasing after your heart. That are chasing intimacy with you, Lord. That are chasing quiet time with you. That are seeking the kingdom first. Reorder what needs to be reordered, Lord God. Bring conviction, bring clarity. Help us, Lord God, to confess whatever needs to be confessed. If we have been putting other things before you, help us to confess and repent from it today. Lord, if we have to ask for forgiveness, Lord God, we need to do that. If we need to forgive somebody, help us to forgive that person. Help us to be just make sure that we're following your voice and also being obedient, Lord, to follow you in ways that are practical. Help us to choose you, Lord God, over all things. Help us not to compromise. Help us not to be people that are just lukewarm in our walk, but that are on fire for you, Lord God, and to do things for the kingdom. Continue to bless our church, watch over our children, protect our families and our homes, and help us to seek you, Lord God, with all of our heart. Lord, we love you, we praise you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.